As we begin this series looking towards inspire, we're going to start with the original story of inspiration, which is the second creation story that is in the second chapter of Genesis. And here's what it says. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So just a few minutes ago, we had the extrovert's dream and the introvert's nightmare of the greeting time. And I want you to imagine, what it would be like if we had this wonderful time of greeting and someone came up to you and they did not stick out their hand to do the handshake, nor did they pull out their hands, arms wide to go in for the bear hug. They didn't even try to dap you, but instead, what if they came at you with an open mouth, like this, and went straight for your nose? Something tells me that this might be your last Sunday, or that you would just watch from home, thank you live stream, from here on out. That is not something that most of us would appreciate, because that gets into our private space. It is too close for comfort. It is far too intimate. Isn't it wild that in this story of creation, God defies our standards for what is appropriate and gets so intimate with us that God uses God's own hands to form us from dust, to shape our very nostrils, and puts holy lips onto us and breathes into us the breath of life. Isn't it astounding that God would be so intimate with us that literally the first breath that humanity has is in response to God's breath first? It's incredible when you think about it. God literally inspires us. If you're looking for something to geek out to later in the day, go do some etymology work with the word inspire. It comes from Latin. The Latin in is what you would think in. Inspire is a little bit more complex. On the one hand, it refers to breath. So when we have respiration, that is literally, we breathing out, the word spire is part of that. But it also is related to our word spirit. Our word spirit. So when we see this original inspiration from God, it is both literal and figurative. Everything is coming together in one. When God puts God's mouth on the original human nostrils, there is a sense that of giving us literal breath. But it's not just about oxygen and carbon dioxide. It is about the deeper sense of our spirit. Consider all the ways God could have chosen to create humanity. God could have just set up a human factory. We could have come out like robots, emerging by the thousands, the millions, the billions. God could have just clapped God's hands and humanity could have emerged out of mud by the millions. But no. God chooses instead to be a master craftsman, an artist, literally handcrafting his work. God holds the individual and breathes into us the breath of life. We use that language of being created in God's image, and sometimes we get so focused on the literal, the skin, the matter, that we can lose that sense of what is beneath. We can lose the sense that we are made in God's image, not just in a physical sense, but that it is much deeper than our skin. What animates us, what makes us alive, is beneath the physicality and more about our spirit, our character, our identity, our purpose. this sense of being made in God's image is meant to evoke that sense of having the breath of life, that we are indeed made in God's image at that deeper level. And like a breath, our call is to respond to God's breathing in. We are meant to breathe out and reflect who made us. But sometimes we have to acknowledge it doesn't always go as we might hope. There are times where we are not fully reflective of what God has breathed into us. I'm sure some of you have been to a birthday party with toddlers where somebody pulls out a balloon, and you don't have to do much to excite a toddler, but a balloon will do it. And you know, it'll bounce around the room, people will pop it, and there'll just be such joy on that toddler's face. They'll light up with just complete bliss until it happens. That the balloon finds its way to something sharp, and it pops, and it just goes down to the ground in a shriveled shell of itself. If we're being honest with ourselves and with each other and with God, sometimes that's who we are. Sometimes we are just shriveled up. Sometimes we do not fully hold the breath that has been given to us. Sometimes it's the weight of life that just simply overwhelms us. Sometimes it's those sorrows which are more than we can bear. Sometimes it's when we hurt others, unintentionally and otherwise. Sometimes it's when we make mistakes and then we try to do better, but we keep making the same mistakes. We can feel like a pop balloon. We can feel like a car with flat tires. We can feel like a sinking boat. Now, I'm sure some of you remember those old cartoons where there'd be a boat that's starting to sink, and you'd see the water kind of shooting through that hole in the side of the hull, and someone would stick their finger in the hole, and it would stop the water from coming in there, but then water would shoot in from another location, and then they start to stick their fingers in there, and then there, and then there, and they're suddenly overwhelmed. What's amazing is that when Jesus comes to us, and when we are walking with the Lord, he helps us to plug those holes in a way that no human being can do on their own. Jesus has a way of restoring us, of redeeming us, of helping us to heal. He helps us to acknowledge where we have failed. He helps us to acknowledge where we are broken. And yes, Jesus helps us acknowledge where we need saving. He helps us to be patched up so that instead of lying on the ground or being stuck in the driveway or sinking, we can go, we can soar, we can follow where we are supposed to be. One of the things that Jesus speaks of that is so important to our understanding of who we are and how we're meant to reflect God's image is he talks about giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love the language that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians. He tells us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Corinthians have been struggling with sin. They've been struggling with community fights, and he's trying to help them understand that they are meant to be more than just people. They are meant to be temples of the Holy Spirit. He says it like this: do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Again, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? We may find ourselves, you know, when we really get granular and think about the idea of God's holy lips on nostrils, that might feel a little uncomfortable. Well, when we're temples of the Holy Spirit, God is even deeper within. God's within us. We become containers to hold what is holy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are filled. We're filled with faith, filled with hope, filled with love. And yet, even though we can acknowledge that God has done the incredible creative work in making us, even as we acknowledge that the Lord helps restore us when we are broken, even as we acknowledge that we get filled with such good things that are pure grace, it can be easy to drift away. Imagine that there's this large art restoration process, and as a part of that process, some incredible, invaluable works that are priceless get restored. All the grime of the years removed, the colors of the paintings get brought out again there as if they are brand new. And the exhibit is supposed to be at the North Carolina Museum of Art, but the shipping company has a little bit of an error. And instead of having these priceless works of art delivered to temperature-controlled, lots of security, those pieces of art get delivered to our preschool instead. Can you imagine some of those kids pulling out their crayons? Maybe it's scissor day. Can you imagine the Mona Lisa with its eyes out and mouth cut out so that the kids can practice sticking their tongue out through it? Or can you imagine a Renoir that becomes a target practice for splattering paint? This is not as it should be. Priceless works of art are not meant for such handling. Sisters and brothers, we are the priceless works of art. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you." By God's grace, we are pearls. By God's grace, we are restored art. But for all that God has invested in us, we can turn away. Often it's the most mundane of things. We just slip away from understanding who God is and relishing in God's presence by just going through the motions. Sometimes we slip away by engaging in less than holy activities that draw us away from what God intends for us, and instead we just get lost in that. And sometimes we just simply get distracted from our purpose, from what God is hoping for us by being created and redeemed and sustained. And yet we must remember God has made us precious. God loved us enough to pull us from dirt and breathe into us the breath of life. God loves us enough to patch us up where we are broken. God loves us enough to reside in us, temples of the Holy Spirit. God has literally inspired us again and again and again. How then shall we live our lives? What will we do with the grace that has been poured into us? How is God inspiring us now?